Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Our sermon text comes from the Old Testament reading, Malachi chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. Look, the day is coming, burning like a blast furnace. All the arrogant and every evildoer will be stubble. The day that is coming will set them on fire, says the Lord of armies, a day that will not leave behind a root or branch for them. But for you who fear my name, the sun of righteousness will rise, and there will be healing in its wings. You will go out and jump around like calves from the stall. You will trample the wicked. They will surely be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day when I take action, says the Lord of armies. Remember the law of my servant Moses, which I commanded to him at Horeb, to serve as statutes and judgments over all Israel. Look, I am going to send Elijah the prophet to you before the great and fearful day of the Lord comes. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of children to their fathers. Otherwise, I will come and strike the land with complete destruction. This is our text. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, it can be painstakingly hard to wait for something. Imagine a child in line to get onto a ride at Disneyland. He's got his Mickey Mouse ears on, and it seems like he spent all day trying to get onto Splash Mountain. The line inches forward, and he inches with it, waiting. Imagine a mother going to an airport to pick up her child who has just come home from college, but their flight has been delayed. So she sits there at the airport, waiting. Imagine a father-to-be in a hospital delivery room. His wife has been in labor for 25 hours and counting. He's there for her, but there isn't much more that he can do except sit there, waiting. Waiting can be one of the most infuriating things that we do in our day-to-day lives. In our text for today, God tells us through the prophet Malachi that something is coming, and he assures us that it will be worth the wait. And we know that when God makes a promise, he keeps it. God promises us that the day is coming. Now, what exactly is this day that the Lord is talking about? Well, that question can have multiple answers. And the answer really depends on when you heard this message. Were you an Israelite who lived at the time of Malachi? Were you someone who lived at the time that Elijah the prophet came, the one whom God promised? Or are you someone who lived after both of these events took place? In order to understand what this message meant for Malachi and his hearers, you have to understand a little bit of Israelite history. At the time that Malachi wrote this, Israel had just gotten back from their exile in Babylon. After the golden years of Israel, run by King David and King Solomon, the kingdom went into a pretty sharp decline. After generations and generations of following other gods, following other religions, God had finally had enough, and he sent the nation into exile in Babylon. Now, after 70 years of this exile, the Israelites were able to return home to Jerusalem because the Persian Empire had overthrown the Babylonian Empire. But even after they went home, they were far from a free nation. They were still under the thumb of a foreign power, under the thumb of Persia. And even a few years after the Israelites returned home, the Persian Empire was defeated by the Greeks, led by Alexander the Great. And a few years after that happened, Alexander died, and his empire crumbled to pieces. And who should fill the power vacuum now but the great Roman Empire, ruling from Rome all the way reaching into Palestine and Israel. So although they were back home in their city, the Israelites never really regained their old power back. And it can be easy for them to feel devastated about this turn of events, but these words of Malachi assured them that the judgment of these pagan empires was coming. And they could find comfort in the fact that God promised them that the Son of Righteousness will rise on them with healing in its wings. Not to mention the fact that they had something else to look forward to. God promised them that he would send Elijah the prophet ahead of him on that day. Before the Lord came, Elijah would come. But they had to wait. Now, who exactly was this Elijah that the Lord promised? If you've been listening to our devotions this week, you already know the answer. We are talking about John the Baptist. John was the one who was coming to prepare the way for the greatest event in human history. John was preparing the way for the coming of the Messiah. The Messiah who would save the people from their sins. And John went through town after town, giving the people the same message that their ancestors had heard from Malachi centuries before. The Messiah is coming. The day is coming. Now, how exactly does John do that? We hear in our text that John's message will come like a blast furnace. Elsewhere in the book of Malachi, John's message is described as a refiner's fire. This is the type of fire that you would see in a blacksmith's forge. It is a fire that burns hotter than hot because it has to, because it's working with metals, which are very difficult to melt down. John's message worked in much of the same way. It was a fire that burned intensely hot, but when you were done with it, you brought something away that was beautiful, a pure, untainted metal. Now, how does John's message purify the hearts of his hearers? Isaiah speaks about John's message as well. We read in Isaiah chapter 40, "Every valley will be raised up, and every mountain and hill will be made low. The rugged ground will become level, and the rough places will become a plain. Then the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all flesh together will see it." This message refers to John's work. John was obviously not sent to blow up mountains and use the rubble to fill in the valleys. John was not some sort of godly landscaper. He was sent to prepare people's hearts. He wanted the people to look inward at the things that would get in the way of what was coming next. Get rid of that sinful pride, arrogance, greed, sexual immorality, so that there is nothing standing in the way of what was coming, the Messiah. Imagine the surprise. Imagine the joy, the delight in the hearts of John's hearers. John was the first prophet since Malachi. It had been 400 years since the Lord had sent a prophet to his people. And finally, the silence was broken. And not only that, but this prophet, this second Elijah, he came bringing the message that God's people had waited so long to hear. The Messiah was coming. The Messiah that was first promised to Adam and Eve in the garden. The Messiah that would save the people from their sins. The Messiah that would lead the people to eternal life. He is coming. And John was not lying. Right on the heels of John the Baptist came a man who was no mere man. He was God incarnate, born of a woman, born under the law to redeem those under the law that we might receive adoption to sonship. Jesus, the Messiah, finally came, and he did everything that was promised. He lived a perfect life. He was tempted in every way that you and I are tempted, except he did not stumble, not once. Jesus, the only perfect human being who ever lived, suffered and died on a cross. But he demonstrated his power over death and the devil by rising from the dead on the third day, just as that glorious Sun of Righteousness rising and shining down on those who fear the Lord. It's no wonder that Malachi told us that we would be prancing like calves, finally free of the stall and able to enjoy the entire pasture. Pure, unbridled joy and thanksgiving for what our Savior has done for us. So what does this message mean for us in 2022? We aren't constantly subjected to the tyranny of foreign empires, and we know that John the Baptist and Jesus have already came. So what exactly are we still waiting for? We know by faith that Jesus has already won the victory for us. He redeemed us from sin, death, and the power of the devil. We no longer have to be afraid. We can rest easy. Clothed in the righteous white robes of Christ, we are God's own adopted children. But we are still living in a sinful world. It can be frustrating to wait for the end of your time here on earth when you are constantly surrounded by the sin that envelops everything in this world. St. Paul reminds us that the earth itself is groaning from the effects of sin. We see famines, earthquakes, tsunamis, hurricanes. The earth itself groaning from the pain of sin that it leaves everywhere it goes. And the earth isn't the only thing that is groaning. We see the effects in the people as well. We see people suffering all over the world, whether it's a humanitarian crisis, a health pandemic, or even God's people suffering at the hands of unbelievers. From the time of the Roman Empire all the way to our present day, believers all over the world have suffered and even died simply because they had faith in the Messiah. They had faith in the one who was promised so long ago. These are all signs of the end of days. And yet, 2,000 years after our Savior walked this earth, and the end can seem to be nowhere in sight. It makes you want to just throw up your hands and say, "How much longer, Lord? How much longer do I have to live on this sinful rock? How much longer until I can join you and your angels and your saints in heaven and just praise you for all eternity and leave all this suffering behind?" But we don't know the answer to that question. We just don't know. Jesus tells us that the day will come like a thief in the night. Nobody will see it coming. Nobody knows when it will be. So we wait. We wait with bated breath. We wait with eager anticipation because we know what the Bible says. Just as that day came for the Israelites who heard it from Malachi and who heard it from John the Baptist, we know that what God promises to you and me will happen. We know that the day is coming. And when it finally happens, when that day finally comes, we know that all of our sufferings here on earth will not even be worth comparing to the glories that we will experience in heaven. So, we wait. We wait with eager hearts and eager anticipation for that day. The day is coming, and we can't wait. Amen. And may the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, keep our hearts and our minds focused on Christ Jesus. Amen.